Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I got this big basket of donuts from Krispy Kreme, and this is going to be great because I'm shooting a TV pilot. I don't mean to say I'm shooting a TV pilot like I, you know, like I'm going to be getting an Emmy anytime soon. I'm just saying that I'm going to be on a TV, a camera will be filming me, and of course, you want to look your best, and what better way to look your best than by eating 5 boxes of Krispy Kreme. So I do appreciate the great people at Krispy Kreme sending me these donuts, and they sent over a very nice card, and let me read it to you. Dear Phil, 5 years ago when you came back to Los Angeles, you were the first person in L.A. to talk about the great wonders of the Krispy Kreme donut, and only you, because the people of L.A. and many people on the West Coast had never eaten a Krispy Kreme donut before, but you had since you'd lived a good part of your life in the Southeast where Krispy Kreme is hugely and wildly successful. But did we hear you then? Did we offer you the opening of one of our stores? No, we gave it to John and Ken, and as pedestrian and as much of a bomb as that was, we really regret never having you open one of our stores. In fact, we'd never even heard of you before until you started bellyaching about how you wanted Krispy Kreme for free because you've been talking about it. So here it is, 5 free boxes and a bunch of stuff. Sincerely, Krispy Kreme. Now bug off and quit bothering us. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you for that. And they sent us over the chocolate-filled cream thing. And oh, Carell and Andrew did one too. Well, gee, everybody's in on that. They didn't know what they thought Krispy Kreme was. I can't even say on a family show. That's what they thought Krispy Kreme was. They had no idea it was a fantastic donut. Now, oh yeah, everybody, Krispy Kreme. Now, down south, I lived in Atlanta, I lived in Florida. Very, very popular. And way, way back in the day when I was a strapping, handsome, young concrete finisher and framing carpenter working in the Central Florida area building, oh, among other places, Bay Hill Country Club in Disney World. We would stop off at the Krispy Kreme concession early in the morning, get ourselves a couple of dozen big giant coffees, go to the job site, fuel ourselves on donuts and Benzedrine. You can see I haven't been harmed at all by those early episodes. Donuts and Benzedrine. I'm only joking about the donut part. And go right to work. So that was back in the day. Well, now, Krispy Kreme's in L.A., and it's a hit. It's a huge national hit. As a matter of fact, I was going through some of their promotional stuff, and they send you a very impressive history of Krispy Kreme, and then they have a little sheet here, and I don't have it, but it says something about Hollywood has discovered Krispy Kreme, too. Here it is. Krispy Kreme's been discovered by Hollywood to date. We've made cameos in Aaron Brockovich, NYPD Blue, ER, Just Shoot Me, Will and Grace, That 70s Show, and Krispy Kreme Donuts were also served on the red carpet at the 73rd Academy Awards pre-show in 2001. So with all of that publicity and all of those mentions in movies, just how stupid were you people at Krispy Kreme only selling them in Atlanta and Orlando for like 50 years? Open up a couple of stores in L.A. and you're in the movies. Get it? Oh, no, man. We're making plenty of dough down there in Broken Whistle, Georgia, and it flies open Florida, wherever they are. Now they just said, well, all right, okay. I guess we'll give them a break out west and put a store out there. You're in the movies, hello. That whole regional sales thing, is there a reason behind that that is understood by a pea brain like me? I'm sure there is. For instance, the philosophy behind Coors beer only being sold out west had something to do with they didn't have proper refrigeration of trucks and they didn't want to drive it too far, otherwise it would get warm. Some baloney. Sounds like some old wives' tale, some you know, really sophisticated line of crap so that people could discuss it at parties. Oh, yeah, Coors is so fantastic. You know, it's interesting how down through the years you come to realize that Coors tastes like urine. But back in those days, it was considered to be quite the beer. Of course, I'm kidding about that Coors. My in-laws drink it. That's about as close as I'll let it get to me. They drink Coors Light. So we always have a little cooler just stuffed to the brim with Coors Light beer at our house. And, you know, every so often I'll open it. I'll go, do we have any beer, honey? And I'll see 2 cases of Coors Light in there. I'll go, nope, I better go to the store and get some. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Some of the other stuff they sent us, 4 boxes of donuts, truck, a Krispy Kreme Tonka toy truck, which I immediately pulled out and started playing with. And, you know, it's funny how you never grow up. I took this little truck out of the box, and I immediately had it, like, going off a cliff and screaming noises coming from it. And I'm 49. Yeah, and explosions and screaming noises. Give any man a truck and a table, and he'll have it go off the cliff with screaming and explosions. Then they gave us some mugs, coffee mugs, sweatshirts, T-shirts, hats, slacks. What is that? Krispy Kreme strap-on? It's all there, and it's just wonderful. Thank you. Tie? Big tie? Thank you very much. You guys are very kind. And the other thing, of course, we had four boxes of this. I said, do we share this or do we not? And I decided, no, we won't. Because we have a lot of offices around here. And generally, the thought process is this. Oh, wow, we got some free food. Let's, you know, take it around to the offices and get everybody an opportunity to have some. And then I got to thinking, we've been here at Premier Radio Networks for 2.5 years, and I don't ever remember, other than Mike Reagan's people, and they're very generous there, I don't remember anybody ever walking into our office and saying, here, do you guys want some of this? We got some food. You know, we got some pizza or something. But Mike Reagan's guys do. They bring us either pizza, or, so we shared some of our donuts with them. But the rest of the crews around here, Laura's crew and Rome's crew and all of them, they can starve, rot, and die for all we care. Here is Ethan on the Phil Hendry Show. Ethan?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks.
This is off the topic of donuts a little bit. But I go to college at University of Vermont.
Yeah?
And What's that like? It's not bad. A lot
of
socialists.
Populous? Is it a big campus?
It's a really big campus. Not huge. Not UMass Amherst or anything, but
right.
It's a large campus, like 10,000 kids or 10, something.
10,000. Okay, that's sizable, yeah.
But cool. Wanted to talk about the International Socialist Organization at UVM.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, what happened was, we have a conservative, he's pretty much the conservative leader at UVM, which is quite the minority, and he went in to sit in on an ISO meeting, which is SGA-funded, that's Student Government Association.
What's ISO?
ISO is the International Socialist Organization.
Oh, okay.
So he went in to sit in on this meeting, and the president of the club of the ISO started screaming at him and swearing profanities, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah?
So he got kicked out of the meeting, which, you know, it's not legally, you know, it has to be supported by the ISO. He needs to be able to sit in on the meeting. So now what's happening is the president of the SGA, who is a socialist, is vetoing
what's the SGA?
The SGA is the Student Government Association.
Okay.
They're vetoing the fact that the ISO, the socialist organization, was going to lose all their funding for the next year because he's a socialist. So now, we don't know what's going to happen, you know. The Republicans at UVM are getting pretty screwed.
Let me know when that, you know, you get that cleaned up, okay? 1-800-449-8686. Boy, all I did was just give a couple of opinions about what's going on in Palestine and Israel and Bethlehem and little town of Bethlehem and all of that. Next thing I know, I got the ISO, the SGA, the University of Vermont, and we're doing the Rush Limbaugh show here. Guess what? I'm going to have opinions about stuff that I want to talk about. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm feeling every comment. This is nothing about the guy that just called, by the way. I don't mean that. That was very. I just don't know what the hell he was talking about. I didn't understand any of it. The SG, some kind of a socialist deal going on in Vermont. Ain't that the state that has that socialist representative or something? I think it is Vermont. What was he talking about? The OSI? Look, I'll do my best to understand what it is you're talking about when you call. How about that? That's the most that any talk show host has ever promised you. Many will say, give us a call with how you feel about what's going on. And they never cop to the fact they don't know what the hell it is you're talking about. The USO, that's it. So they had the Andrews sisters over there at the University of Vermont. Okay, here's John. Hi, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. I figured you might want to have two calls from Vermont in one night.
You know what this guy was referring to then?
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's a well-known fact that this is the Socialist Republic of Vermont here. It's kind of a running joke that there's a pretty large liberal population in the state, and particularly in the city of Burlington.
Can I get a napkin?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're getting Krispy Kreme on you.
Don't worry about
also,
what I'm getting on me, okay?
So what? So what was the point of your call, sir?
Oh, nothing. I was just calling to let you know that.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, remember I told you that the kids, you know, we'd left out Easter eggs for the kids, and the next morning they were ripped to shreds by some kind of an animal? Because we live up in the foothills. We just live in this canyon area, and there are lots of critters around there. There's possum, there's raccoons, and there's coyotes, and we hear the coyotes. In fact, I kind of like the sound of coyote. I take that back. I have up to last night, enjoyed the sound of coyotes. I don't know. It's wild. It's beautiful. It's kind of just a nice sound. They're running free up there, you know? But anyway, so Marie and the kids are out in the desert, so I'm by myself with the cat this week. And last night, I walked outside, and there's these hills directly behind my house. And I could hear suddenly, not one or two, but there was a pack of coyotes going ape up there. Just, you know, just, I mean, going just wild. And suddenly it occurred to me, the night before, they had found food at my house. And so there I was in this kind of wildlife paranoia, fearful that they were massing for another run on my backyard. And I immediately, like, walked inside and locked all the doors. Because I thought the coyotes were up there saying, basically, in coyote talk, there's food down there, we found it, and we're going for more. So, like, I did a little perimeter check this morning to see if there, you know, I'd left any chocolate bars around. I'm okay. You know what I could do is feed them the cat. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. This is Dave. Hello, Dave.
I'm just calling to ask, we're in this economic recession, and we have all this money that we lent all these companies, all these other countries, and they're supposed to pay us back. How come we don't call up on any of those debts, and the country just keeps writing them all off?
Well, we seem to be out of that recession, and I think if you start calling in these debts on these countries that are just trying to rebuild themselves, then you sort of collapse their economies, and then we wind up having to give them more money kind of thing, you know?
I know Canada said...
Canada, they're the only deadbeats that I know of is Canada. I'd call a loan in on Canada in a New York minute.
Well, they said that right after September 11th that they would start repaying some of the money we've lent them, and I don't know if
We've lent Canada money?
Yeah.
What money have we lent Canada?
I don't know. Read it in a newspaper.
Well, there you go. What are we buying them hockey uniforms? So they said they'd pay it back, and they didn't, huh?
I don't know. They said that they don't understand why no other country is helping the U.S. out when we help everybody else out.
Well, that's the story. That's the way it goes, brother. But here's the deal. We're not in a recession no more, and if you start pulling in money that you lent out before the people are able to pay it back, then you just crap all over their economy, and then we wind up having to lend them more money because we pulled the money out too soon and collapsed their economy. Dig? Isn't that how it works? What money do we lend to Canada? Boy, that's the one country I wouldn't lend a nickel to. They got more dough up there. They got more land, more oil, more water, more everything. They got it all. They got great women. They got great, well, that's about it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. John, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. Canada has hockey. That's pretty cool. Listen, I just wanted to call in.
Yeah, it's real great.
You were talking the last couple episodes, well, last little while you've been talking about the Osbournes, and I got my first chance to actually see that, I guess, piece of crap today. What is MTV thinking?
Oh, you don't like that show? Well, I think there's something kind of moderately interesting looking at a guy whose frontal lobes have basically just been burned up. Sort of bump into furniture. I think it's kind of cool, except who would want to live in a family like that?
Well, you know, his kids were just, you know, like you said, telling him to F off. He was taking out the garbage, and it was funny. You know, it was like he was, you know, he looked like a lobotomy patient, you know, on acid or something.
Right, that's what we basically said. Here is Jim. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Oh, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to say I dig your show, man. I think you got one of the best things going on in radio today.
Thanks.
I had a question though about your about the callers and stuff like that. How come do you announce that you do the voices at the end of the show now?
Because if I don't, then nobody knows it's me doing the voices, and they all think I've hired actors to call in, or they think that, you know, it's all just one big bizarre thing, and they don't listen as long. But when I tell them that it's me doing the voices, then they listen longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
No, because when I had no idea you did those voices until maybe a couple of weeks ago when you announced it. I was like, no way, that was him. Because you get all those people call in all riled up, and it is funny.
Look.
Especially the elderly.
Well, and the youngerly.
Yeah, I
all right, man. We'll get back to making that meth, and I'll keep doing my show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Bill. Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing? This is Bill.
Hi.
All right. I'm a correction officer in the state of California, and I just want to talk about the security on the airport where I recently flew, and it really sucks. Hello.
I'm right here.
All right. Reason why I say that, because a little mellow, the wands that you use to wind people down, it really doesn't have a bearing of if anybody wants to take a knife on the plane or anything that's 6 inches long. Basically, they can wrap it in plastic, stick it up their anus, or keister it, as they say in prison, and it won't read on the metal detectors. Inside, then, once they're in the plane, they can pull the thing out in the bathroom and do what they have to do on the plane.
Yeah, let's see, about 6 inches of hard metal that isn't malleable or bendable at all or flexible,
they wrap it
into a colon is going to puncture your colon.
No.
Sure
it is. Seen guys do it. They make knives out of plastic.
Well, look, I don't want to get into your sex life, but the fact is, how do I know what your guy sticks up his rear end, whether it's going to bend or not? This guy's an expert. There you go. Okay, all you guys at the airports, a guy can take a knife and shove it up his rear end, see, and get on a plane with it that way. So, wrap it in plastic, you know, really wrap it in plastic, so it's about 8 inches wide, and then shove it right up there. The only guy that could do that, it'd have to be an ex-con. I'm having a conversation with a guy here. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I've been told never comment on the callers after they hang up because it doesn't sound fair. They're not there to defend themselves. Well, and then, of course, I have to ask the question, why should I care or my audience? Anyway, here is Andy on the Phil Henry Show. Andy?
How you doing, Phil?
Fine, thank you.
Holy man, I can't believe I got a hold of you. I'm pretty excited. I just wanted to call to wish myself a happy birthday on your show.
Go ahead, anytime you're ready. How old are you?
I'm 21 today.
21?
Yep.
You know what that means, don't you?
I can drink.
Oh, it does?
I think so.
I thought you were legal to have sex with men at 21. No, yeah, you can drink, but you know what? Something tells me you already have.
You're damn right.
There you go, brother.
And you can talk and say anything you want about me after I hang up.
Thank you, Andy. Well, happy birthday. Where are you calling from?
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hey, go Bucks. No, I don't know. Well, great. Title Town, huh?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Andy. Happy birthday to you. Here's a birthday song, man. A little something I wrote. Check this out. This is solid. That's all.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, I know nobody watches baseball anymore, but have you been watching any baseball lately? The Angels got new uniforms. Yeah, I mean, those the ones, the Anaheim Angels, that ought to do it. See, all these years, they've had a pretty bad baseball team down there. By the way, I think Mike Socha being the manager is a great thing. I'm sorry it's with the Angels, Mike, and not the Dodgers, but the Dodgers didn't hire you. They just don't, they don't seem to have a clue. Everybody loves Jim Tracy. I'm sure they'll go on and win the World Series. And meanwhile, you're stuck down there with, who is it, Disney? Yeah, they know a lot about running a baseball team. Anyway, Disney has proven themselves so adept at running sports teams. It's just astounding how good you guys are with hockey and baseball. You know all about that whole amusement park thing, and you make a pretty good movie. I love that Aladdin deal, A Whole New World, and The Little Mermaid. It's just great. But when it comes to baseball, you guys, just please sell the team. All the uniform changes in the world ain't going to help. Not that I ever, never paid any attention to the Angels growing up. See, I grew up in L.A. I don't mean to spend too much time talking about them, but I didn't really spend too much time talking about them when I was growing up either. In fact, I never took any time talking about them. But now I got to say something. Those new uniforms, they are great. Big red A and the Bay Angel, and it's all red. And I didn't even know it was, I thought it was the Cincinnati Reds. I thought it was the Red Sox. I thought it was the, I thought it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who the hell are these guys? This is a baseball team? Oh, yeah, it's the Angels. That's right. These are the guys that change their look every 5 years. I forgot. Back in the day, in the 80s, they wore pajamas, basically, is what they wore. Those elastic band pajama bottoms. You talk about a goofy organization. They had uniforms like Target softball team. That's what they looked like any softball club you'd see out here in a park on a Saturday afternoon. Or better yet, how about a Friday night? With a couple of cases of Lone Star. And these guys are out there with their pajama bottoms on. Really bad, really nuts. Anyway, I heard that the season is 2 games old, and already people are, okay, thanks, when's football start? 2 games old, and people are, all right, yeah, well, it was a good year. When's football camp open, man? I'm going to get up to River Falls there, watch the old KC Chiefs, something like that, you know? What's his hockey, the playoffs coming up? God, I love it. And I must be sadistic. There must be something terribly wrong with me because I kind of like seeing what's happening to baseball. I enjoy watching the complete and utter destruction of an American institution. There's got to be something seriously wrong with me, but I'm enjoying it because with it means the end of an era of some kind. I don't know what it means, but I think athletics as a preeminent industry, as this enormous employer and mover and shaker and motivator within the economy is suddenly it's not a player any longer. It's not a big thing like it used to be. Baseball, nobody wants to go watch these games. They're going to have to fold up a couple of ball clubs. And it won't just stop at 2. They may have to fold up like 4 or 6 or 10. Or how about the whole league? Or both of them? How many are there? 2. And they're going to have to put all kinds of guys out of work. Next thing you know, baseball players will be making like 25 grand a year. I'll be making more than the baseball players. Right now, as I said yesterday, I make $36,500 a year, $36,500 a year. As soon as a ball player's salary come down to mine, then I know that the country's safe. I think it's great. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, see, because you don't go to no baseball games. But let me just tell you, the fact that you go to no baseball games, there's not going to be any baseball next year. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Just in time for that big Diamondback win, huh? I'd say they're starting a dynasty, but because there's only going to be about 2-3 more years of Major League Baseball, it's not much of a dynasty, but... Okay, here's Chris on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, I was listening to your comments right there about the East. I agree with you.
About what?
Complete Middle East and Phil
Fitzgerald. Okay, I can't hear you, man, but thanks for calling. Here's Ruben on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Ruben.
Right.
Hey, I know you. You said something about the Angels uniforms. Yeah, they look like a bunch of crap.
You high?
No, I ain't high. Right. Why should I be high, man?
You get that every day, though, don't you? I'm sorry.
No, I'm just
Ruben
a happy
Devin,
person.
You smoking that stuff again?
Me? I don't even drink.
Yeah. Look at man, Romolard does count as drinking. All right. Don't tell me that you don't drink when you're doing about 2 bottles of paint a day or whatever it is.
No, I don't do none of that.
All right. So what's up? What can we do for you, sir?
Hey, when you said something about baseball.
Yeah. I said a little something about baseball. I can't remember what it was right now.
You said they just skipped right to football.
Yeah, just move. Let's move right on. Yeah.
Yeah, just like the Lions.
Hey, man, you ain't hiding a 6-inch blade up your.
Oh,
okay, good. Jeff, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah, you're on the air.
What's going on? Hello?
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
I got a question for you. Why do you think baseball is in such demise?
Because it's it's a better thing. Indoor football is much better. It's more fun to watch.
Well, I don't know if you saw that that thing they had on the other – I don't know what it was in that magazine, Sports Illustrated.
The thing they had on the other night in that magazine. No, what was it?
They said they were supposedly.
Yeah? No crap. I'm going to have to read that. Kevin, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, what did Jim Rome think about that bit you did when you did his show?
He never talks to me, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, he just blows by me. He always looks like he's on his way to a. He always looks like he's on his way to a meeting where they're gonna pull his tongue out of his mouth or something.
We'll take him down, man.
No, I ain't gonna take Jim down. He's a good man.
Hey,
he's a fine guy. He's busy. You know, he has the TV thing. Oh, you mean he doesn't anymore?
Hey, well, so anyway, you
I got a TV. I got no TV thing. Is Rome still doing his TV show or what?
Till
the end of the season. No, he's a fine guy. I don't think I've heard him comment. He's got some nice guys working for him. Who's his producer? Travis. And I've talked to those guys. I've thrown back a couple of tequila shots with them. So they're all fine people over there.
Right on. Hey, that bit you did where you were on in the background saying "you son of a bitch." How many times have you done that? Just once?
I don't think I've ever done that. And you may be thinking, see, in the background, you son of a bitch, you may be thinking of the Dr. Laura show, because I know she does a lot of that. Brianna, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, yeah, I want to say I've been listening to your show, and I have to say you're probably good, but your listeners are really stupid, so good luck.
Well, why would you say that?
Because they're very stupid.
Well, give me an example of one that was an
idiot.
The
guy who was just talking like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
He's really stupid and drunk.
Well, I don't know. I thought he had some valid points.
I doubt it.
But you're not sure.
No, he didn't.
So he's an imbecile.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
And have a nice day.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Imagine her saying my listeners are stupid. Tracy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir?
Yeah, I'm calling to ask if you heard anything about Carl Malone running for the state of Arkansas governor.
Carl Malone?
Yep, for the Utah Jazz.
Let's see. Is he?
Yes, sir. Sure is.
I think that's fantastic.
I can't wait. I'm going to vote for him. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, Carl Malone running for the governor of Arkansas. That seems like a natural fit to me.
Well, it's interesting, I'll tell you that.
It will be interesting. Is he? Let me guess, he's not even from Arkansas.
Well, he has a house here.
Does he?
In the northwest part of the state.
Isn't Carl Malone like from Boston or something?
I don't know where he's from.
So he's going to run for governor of Arkansas, and
yep.
He's got your vote.
Yep. We've got to get the Marcoses out of there.
Who's that, sir?
The Marcoses. Huckabees.
DeMarcus Huckabee?
I call him the Marcoses.
Is he the former governor of Arkansas?
He's the governor of Arkansas now. His real name's Huckabee.
Well, I think that Carl Malone...
He's a Baptist preacher.
Spanish preacher.
He's a Baptist preacher.
He's a badass preacher. I think that Carl Malone is one of the outstanding role models in America today. I think he's got some good ideas. I like his whole, I don't know what the hell he's about. But I think it's a good place to start, Arkansas. But watch out, because he could become president, right? Because the last guy that was governor from Arkansas, didn't he get to be president? Or is that somebody else?
Yeah, I voted for him, too.
There you go. Okay, pal.
All right.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
See you later. Karl Malone, huh? I didn't think Karl Malone was from Arkansas. I don't know why. Arkansas is not a place where I think there's any black folks for some reason. What is wrong with me? I think of Arkansas, and I think of just nothing but white, good white people, but whites. Alabama, Mississippi, yeah. Arkansas, nah. Arkansas, I think of a lot of guys with squirrel guns and, you know, the big wide hat. I know, it's a stereotype. Someday people will think of Arkansas and they'll think of transponders and computer chips. Arkansas, well, of course, that's where the entire revolution in terms of the dilithium crystals were developed there, weren't they? Yes, and the fusion coil. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. I bet you the warp coil will be developed in Arkansas. So just don't laugh. Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Let me just get back to the Middle East thing, okay? Because I know none of you want to really talk about it, and it's really bothering you, and you wish you would, that I wouldn't, and you might just go to another radio station if I do. So let me just keep talking about it. So here's the latest now. Israel says they found documents linking all of this terrorist activity to the Palestinian Authority, and they found some other intelligence that said that Arafat was going to plan 200 more suicide bombings, and they're finding all this stuff that basically paints Arafat for what he is, a scumbag, and everybody's telling Israel to pull back and to moderate and to get out and to chill out and to take a chill pill and to take a cigarette break on this whole thing. Yet it's like the whole world has gone nuts. Like everybody down, well, hey, you go down to the Middle East, there isn't anybody down there thinking straight. Everybody's got their head parked in varying degrees up their asses down there. Only down there in the Middle East is it all of a sudden, oh, yeah, well, we can walk into a pizza parlor with a bomb and blow everybody halfway to hell, but, you know, these guys coming in with these tanks, that's not cool. Oh, I see. I get you now. Well, all right, thanks. What are you talking about? Let me tell you something. I hope Israel stays where they are. I hope they retake the West Bank and stay there. I hope they stay there. And then I hope Arafat meets with a shaving accident or something. You know, when he gets up from his little cot, he's stuck there in the middle of that compound. I don't know whether he's got toilet facilities or whether he's just crapping on the floor and wiping his rear end with a newspaper. But he's not going to give up. He's going to be a martyr of the cause. Well, okay, I hope, because people are saying, well, if he gets martyred, that means it's going to get worse. Worse? Of course it's going to get worse. It doesn't matter whether he gets martyred or not, it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. You can kiss that one goodbye. The only way it gets better is if Israel, you know, bends over and grabs its ankles and said, oh, okay, well, we'll pull out and we'll implement all this stuff. In the meantime, you guys just can keep sending 16-year-olds in here packed with bombs and have them walk into pizza parlors, all right? That's fine, and it ain't going to get any better. I hope they stay there. I hope that Arafat meets with an accident. And frankly, I don't think anybody should be talking about anything. I think that they ought to let it devolve into the war that it's going to be. I think that's the only way you purify the air down there. I think that's the only way you clean it up. I don't think that the U.S. should stick their nose in the middle of anything down there. I think they ought to just let each other slaughter each other. I think they ought to, if it's going to be an Armageddon, let it be an Armageddon. And I'd love to see Iraq try to cut the oil off. And as far as I'm concerned, we ought to jump in with both feet. While Israel's taking care of Palestine, we ought to take care of that scumbag Hussein once and for all. What do you think's going to happen? You think people are going to sit down and talk about it? You think there's going to be some kind of a solution over a conference table? Did you see that group of baboons, that Arab Summit League meeting last week? What were they talking about? Well, on the one hand, they condemn the terrorism. On the other hand, they think it's fantastic. On the one hand, they think Israel ought to have a right to exist. On the other hand, it's a Zionist piece of crap. All these guys running around wearing Napoleon hats and tablecloths, and they're wearing, like, beanies with propellers on top. It's the biggest group of nutbags since the major league owners met out in Palm Springs. They're, who's goofier, the collected owners of the NFL or the Arab Summit or whatever the hell they call it? What is that anyway? They ain't got no summit. They got no league. It's just a bunch of guys coming in on camels, parking them, tying them up, water them for an hour, and going to have coffee together. What are you going to talk about? You going to bring in some envoys, man, and chill that out down there? There's no chilling it out. No chilling it out at all. I say they let them go at it toe-to-toe. And may the best man win. And you know who that's going to be. Maybe that's why they want to chill it out. I say let Israel take care of that Palestine thing, and we go in and we take care of that Iraq thing. And when we're done with that, then we maybe take care of Iran. Do I sound like I'm nuts? Well, I'm in the mood today, okay? And you want to know why? I've had about two boxes of Krispy Kreme. You going to blame me? If I'm talking like I'm crazy, you can blame Christy. What's his name? Kris Kreme? Oh, Krispy Kreme. Hi, I'm Kris Kreme. You may know me as Krispy. Oh, yeah. Here is whoever we'd like to go to. Matt, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling about that lady that just called a little while ago and said all your listeners were stupid.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think she's probably the stupidest caller all night.
Really?
Yeah, she's just carrying that tradition.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Now, moving back to what I think is the high point, I mean, we're talking about a synergy. We're talking about the dialectical, you can't land on a fraction. You can't go into three quarters. You can't land on a fraction. Dennis Hopper, Apocalypse Now. Here is Rick on the Phil Henry Show. Rick?
Phil.
Hi.
How long you been live on the satellite radio?
I just heard. Are we on the satellite radio?
Yeah.
All right.
I've heard your show on here before, but it's never been live like it is now.
Oh, you're on. You got a satellite receiver?
Yeah.
Are you in your car?
I'm in a truck, yeah.
Now, what do you got, a little satellite dish on the side of the truck?
No, it's just a little square box. It's inside the truck, about the size of a carton of cigarettes.
It's not like a little dish that you have to adjust or anything?
No. There's an antenna, but no dish.
And it's in your truck, and you can listen to all the shows, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Is it? Where are you right now?
I'm up on 80 up in northern Nevada.
So you're not listening to any radio station. You're just pulling the Phil Henry Show right off the satellite tonight.
Right. Off the XM.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. And I don't get paid any extra for that, by
the
way.
No, don't you?
No, not at all.
Well, you oughta.
Oh, well.
Get a lawyer or something.
Okay, pal. I'm glad you're hearing us. Whichever way you're hearing us, thanks for tuning in.
See ya.
Bye. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I always love it when my listeners call in and tell me that I'm being rebroadcast or otherwise redirected, and I'm not getting extra any revenue for it. I always dig that. Hey, Phil, yeah, you're on television right now, too.
Really?
Yeah, you're on NBC, man. We're watching it right now all over the country. Gee, I'm not getting paid for that. Okay, ha, ha, ha. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.